That's what I do in a nutshell.
You've been doing that for a long time. And how's your track record?
You know, and this is me not trying to be boastful. I'm going to say, you know, at least 85%. You know, one of the things with this field is that, you know, you don't have people calling you up every day and going, well, you know what you told me was exactly right, or that the work that you did with me worked. You know, and so you do stuff and you may or may not find out about it. You know, for example, I did a session. It was at a psychic fair, and this woman came and she had this inflammation in her gums. She actually had one of her teeth pulled and the tooth went up into the sinus cavity. And there was a hole, and it was all infected, and she wanted me to work on it, and I had 15 whole minutes. And so I worked on her and did this stuff and cleared it out and put this, like, psychic antibiotic in it and, you know, did these little psychic sutures in it. And my 15 minutes were up, and bye, see you later. You know, didn't really think anything about it. So, like, 3 months later, I get a phone call from this woman who turns out to be the sister of the woman that I worked on, and she goes, she didn't call you? I'm like, no, why? She goes, after she left, that night she woke up and her sinuses just started to drain and drain and drain and drain and drain. She was up all night. And she goes, and because she was supposed to go to the dentist like that week, and if the hole hadn't sealed up, they were going to go in and surgically seal it. And she goes, well, then she went to the dentist, you know, a few days later, and not only was the hole sealed up, but bone had started growing in where they had taken the tooth out. Now, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know how often weird stuff like that happens, cool stuff like that happens, but it happens, but you don't find out.
Mm-hmm. But you're confident that you do well.
Yeah, I mean, that is the feedback that I get from the people that I know.
Okay. And you've been doing this a long time, so you have
about 20 years.
Yeah, so, well, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
And so you started when you're five, but no.
That's right.
We had a caller, and they wanted to ask something about UFOs, and we lost him. What about UFOs? Do you believe in UFOs? Do you believe they're extraterrestrial? Have you seen a UFO? Any of those questions, answer them.
I have not seen a UFO. Based upon the research that we did for this book, I certainly believe that we are not alone, because I believe that the bulk of the stories that come to us from ancient mythology is talking about the lives and times of these extraterrestrial beings and their wars and their really bad behavior. What's interesting, Jerry, and you'll appreciate this one, is that, you know, there's all the stuff that comes out about, you know, the underground base at Dulce and all of these underground installations with the reptilians in them and blah, 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 blah. Mythology actually supports many of their claims. And the part that I haven't figured out is, did they base their material on from mythological sources and they're just kind of taking that the next step? Or, you know, using somebody like Anthony Sanchez as an example, you know, did he get the information from somebody over there from the UFO community and it just so happens to parallel themes and concepts that come from remote antiquity?
Yeah, you mentioned Anthony Sanchez. He's doing well these days. And his interesting book on not only just Dulce, but UFOs in general, has some aspects to it that a lot of people didn't want to embrace. I'm kind of agnostic about it. In other words, you know, what he's writing could well be true about that Dulce's been around for a long time, and these people were manufactured beings, and they stuck them here on Earth because they knew the sun would kill them, so they're out running around at night. I know I've kind of screwed up his story a little bit, but basically that's the thesis of it. And you know, he has some sources. It's interesting that so many people attacked him right off the bat. And when that happens, I've always figured there's smoke, there's fire. So if somebody's protesting too much, that just kind of turns me on.
Well, you know, when Anthony was on my show and I got a copy of his book and I was writing the last chapter or two of the book, I mean, we were really in the conclusion area of it, and I was blown away. I mean, I was just like bouncing around my house because the story that he shares from the current Colonel X paralleled so much of the mythology. You know, that there were these underground bases around the world that the inhabitants, you know, some of the inhabitants of the lowest realms, the seventh level of these bases were called, in India, they were called Nagas, snakes, you know, obviously reptilian in nature. You know, this whole thing about these half-man, half-fish, half-man, half-snakey people.
In the Bible, in Adam and Eve, they talk about the serpent having legs, and then after he talked to Eve into doing the original sin, he'd be on his belly. So, I mean, that kind of backs up the reptilian story right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I'm just trying to think of what else. We also came to the conclusion that there were some issues with the light on the planet, and we believe that the giants, you know, the Nephilim, and I have a whole big issue with a lot of people on the Nephilim, but that the Nephilim were actually the preceding race to mankind, and they might have been the ones that Anthony is referring to that had the issues with the light. Because there was a race on Earth prior to the development of mankind as we know them that were giants, and and they were annihilated, basically, with the Flood, along with a lot of other people and a lot of those underground beings as well as mankind. Everybody. Jerry, it was everybody but me and you.
Yeah, let's get the name of the book again.
Man-Made, The Chronicles of Our Extraterrestrial Gods, available in paperback and in the Kindle version, soulhealer.com.
Now, I knew you before you really started doing lots of UFO shows, and now you pretty much, that's a regular part of your program. You have UFO people on quite a lot. And what got you interested in that? Since you didn't have an experience, I didn't have an experience either. I did see a UFO later in life. Have you seen one?
No.
I thought you said that earlier. No. Thought I'd ask again. I've seen one, and I was doing a radio show at the time, which is kind of amazing. And it's on our website if somebody wants to go over to the Phoenix Lights. No, it wasn't the big one like everybody saw. This was later, a follow-up. Standing by the Twin Peaks, and out comes a flying triangle while I'm interviewing a guy. It's just amazing. So I have seen one. Now, I don't know. A lot of people say seeing a UFO is a life-changing experience. It may well be. I don't guess I got close enough to it, but I've been doing UFO shows forever, for decades, so maybe it wouldn't change my life because it didn't change my idea. I already believed in them.
Yeah, well, you know, I still tell people I'm not a UFO person. You know, I definitely am more of a, you know, mythology. I'm a psychic mystic. Anyway.
That's a good title. Dr. Rita Louise, psychic mystic.
And you know, more. And so, you know, and I'll just be frank with you, Jerry, because, you know, we're buds. It's still a little challenging for me to do shows where we're just talking about, like, Roswell or... You know, some of the incidences.
Wait a minute. You enjoyed your trip to Roswell, didn't you?
Well, I had a great time, especially bugging Dennis Balthaser, because that was fun.
And you joined us there 1 year, and we had a great time. And somebody didn't like your tinfoil hat, but that's beside the point.
Well, I'm going to have to bring Bitsy, too, because he hates her, too. But anyway...
Some of them get a little uptight about nothing, but that's what I thought about Anthony Sanchez. I thought they were getting uptight when he has as much proof for his ideas as other ufologists have proof for their ideas. That's one reason
And that's the part that I think is really kind of funny, is that people will put out material that's just like really out in left field and put out this claim like, this is true. You know, the pyramids were these space weapons to knock out the aliens that were in low orbit. It's like, where did you get that? I mean, some of the stuff that you hear coming is just really bizarre. You know, at least if it's approached with humility and they say, well, this is what I've researched and this is what I think, is one thing. But when they put it out like, this is the God's honest truth, and if you say anything, to the contrary, you're wrong. Like,
okay, so I agree with you, by the way, on that. I don't want to pick a fight with my fellow ufologists. They're welcome to believe in what they believe in. And, I don't want to knock anybody with strong principles, because I think it's an important asset if you believe in something and you really push it. But I do think you need to be open-minded as well.
Mm-hmm.
And your book and your theory about how we started and all of that, sounds okay to me. Sounds like that's a logical thing, and you've done some research to back it up. So at least some people, if not all people, should take a look at it and read the book and get a feeling for it all.
Well, and I want to just do a shout out to Lisa, because she already got a copy, and she put a little note in the email that says, "Awesome, listening to your interview with Jerry right now on IRN." So thanks, Lisa. I will make sure that your book is autographed.
Well, good. So they could actually contact you on your website and get an autographed copy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
idea. They don't come autographed on Amazon. Just directly from us, and that's priceless, Jerry.
Well, it may be someday.
One of the things with this book, with Man Made: The Chronicles of Our Extraterrestrial Gods, is that we just put out the information. You know, this myth says this, and this this group says this, and this group says this. But when you take all of these different stories out of the whole, you can't help but go in a direction or not. And then, we'll put in questions like, well, could this group of rebels actually left the planet? And, and we just would put out questions for you to think about, but we never in this book said, well, this is how it is. Because we don't know. We're just taking the evidence available and coming up with some kind of a conclusion, maybe, if that makes sense.
I talked to Ryan Foster the other day. He's coming up here to join us in just a second, about the tour to Peru. And Brian says he's seen a UFO, so we'll have to bring that up with him.
Okay.
We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back and talk about, if they can afford this trip, it's something that will last a lifetime for them in memories, because you guys have really put a lot of work into putting this tour together. And we'll talk about all that when we come back. Okay, Rita?
Okay, sounds good, Jerry.
But right now we're going to pause for this word or two, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk about Peru and ancient mysteries. And where the
soulhealer.com.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. Don't go away. .com. Okay.
That's right.
We'll be back, folks. We'll be back. You know, when we pause for a commercial, it's always for somebody who pays the freight, pays the way. Well, I'm going to take time out to talk about somebody who can't pay their way. And that's the stray animals, dogs and cats and other animals, who need your help. And there is a way to help them. Support no-kill animal shelters. It's a gift of life that keeps on giving. These animal shelters are located around the world and maybe in your neighborhood. Animals, they need love. They don't need to be sent someplace and then executed just because they don't have a home. support the animal shelter that is a no-kill shelter near you. Give them a donation of $10, $25, $50 or more. The money will be well used. The animals will love you for it. So give a gift of love, a gift of life, to that stray dog or cat. Rita Louise is with us. Dr. Louise and I have been talking for about an hour, and we mentioned a little earlier about our trip to Peru. Well, I'm not going, but I wish I could, and I would, guys, if my health were better, but I'm tied up right now with some medical issues. But it sounds like a great trip. And Brian Foster, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
And how are things down in Peru? You're outside Lima. They're in a flight pattern, I understand.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. There's a lot of...
It's not bothering me, but Joe Champion, our producer in Chicago, seemed to pick that up. So I guess an airplane flew over or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's. I'm in Lima's a huge city with 10 million people. So unfortunately, there's traffic all around me at the moment.
Now, how long have you been in Peru?
Off and on for 7 years.
And the reason I ask is because you've been doing tours for a while.
Yeah, about 3 years now.
And you've had some pretty interesting ones in the past. Rita Louise, you can join the conversation with us.
Okay.
Good. And Rita, how did you and Brian get together? I mean, this trip to Peru, I guess the best way we ought to approach this is, Rita, why don't you kind of give a background about the trip, then I'll ask Brian some questions.
Okay. Well, I mean
like when you're going to do it and how you do it and what's going to happen.
The trip is scheduled from June 1st to June 12th. That's with the extension. It's 7 days plus an extra 3 days, 4 days. That is an optional piece. Basically, you fly to Lima and then everything is taken care of there, transportation, hotel, all that good stuff. And then you have fun. I don't know. I'm not very good at marketing this part.
Well, I'll get to Brian, and I'm sure that he will.
He's much better at it.
Yeah, have all the details here. Brian, we did get the date from Rita on this. Let's talk a little bit about how do I get there. Do you have a does the tour include the airfare down to Peru?
No, the actual international flight is separate, but everything else is completely contained. So transportation, hotels, entrance to the sacred sites, breakfast, etc. Lunches and dinners are separate, but everything else is taken care of.
By the way, I would be remiss before we get into this too far. Lisa in the chat room, she ordered a book, I think, from Rita. But in addition to that, she's donating a little bit of her 5 paychecks to a no-kill animal shelter near her. And we'd urge other people to do that as well. Okay, Brian, let's get down to the brass tacks about this. What's going to happen here on this tour?
Well, basically what it is Peru and Bolivia are probably two of the most fascinating and enigmatic places on the planet, almost as much as ancient Egypt is, because so little is known by conventional archaeology. There are buildings made out of stone, which conventional archaeologists say were made by the Inca, but we found out that it would be physically impossible for the Inca. They didn't have the technology. So what we're looking at through having had a number of engineers and stonemasons, etc., here is a culture that dates back probably at least 10,000 years, and that is much farther back than conventional archaeology admits, but we have the science to back it up.
Well, and one of the other things that's very interesting about Peru is that when you talk about early civilizations around the world, and the advent of different characteristics of these civilizations. You know, one of the things that you talk about is the development of agriculture and the domestication of food items and plants and animals. And where you find that occurring is, one, in the Middle East, in the Sumerian area, Babylonian Fertile Crescent area. You find that happening in China, and you find that happening in Peru, which is interesting because if people are of the belief that everything started in the Fertile Crescent and then kind of spread around, well, it started in the Fertile Crescent, and then within about 1,000 years, they started having domesticated plants and animals in Peru, which also leads you to believe that there's something else, something much bigger going on than the natural spread of culture and customs around the world.
Exactly.
What do you think, Brian? The Inca civilization is puzzling to me to begin with. They came up with a lot of things that they shouldn't have been able to do when we first discovered them down there. I mean, you know, they were the cutting-edge things that they constructed. I mean, they were better than any instruments available.
Oh, definitely. Well, yeah, the most recent information I'm discovering, because actually I'm reading a compilation of probably the best chronicles ever written about the Inca, is I have a drawing that was made by the Spanish as soon as they entered the city of Cusco. And what it shows is that the megalithic buildings were there much, you know, much farther back than the Inca, and that the Inca repaired them. So that's evident when we visit Cusco, is that you see where the incredible stone masonry work is. You don't find any really intact buildings. You find later Inca inferior repairs to them, but that gives more evidence that there was a very highly evolved civilization several thousand years before the Inca, and that the Inca simply inherited the city of Cusco.
We're going to get into great detail about this and go over the tour a little bit here in a moment, Brian. But before we do anything else, as I told you in an email, I do a UFO show, so we need to mention some UFOs. And you said you've seen some UFOs down there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. I've had two sightings in my life. One of them was in Hawaii about 16 years ago on the island of Maui, and I saw a tube-shaped metallic object for about 10 minutes that was barely moving, and my brain went through the natural processes that you go through of saying, well, is that an airplane? No. Is it, you know, is it this? No. That? No. And so that was my first sighting, and it was very difficult for my brain to process it because it was such a strange object.
Could you make it out very easily? I mean, did you hear any noise or anything?
No, actually, it was in the distance. It was up on the side of the mountain called Haleakala, and it was the size of a conventional commercial aircraft, like not as big as a 747, but some, you know, 727 kind of size. But, you know, my brain went through the natural things. It's like I went, that plane isn't on the right flight path. And then my next thought was, it doesn't have a tail. And then it doesn't have wings. And it doesn't have an insignia. And it's not moving very fast.
Yeah, right.
and so, you know, naturally my brain was trying to find a box to put it in, but it couldn't. And that's why I was transfixed by it. I literally couldn't take my eyes off of it. And then it basically just disappeared.
Blinked out, you mean, or faded away?
Well, we had to go in and out of trees as we were driving. And so I kept seeing it. So we'd go through the trees, and the object was there. Go through the trees, the object was there. And literally it looked like it couldn't have been traveling 100 miles an hour. It was moving that slowly. And then finally we were getting, as we were getting closer to it and closer to it, then we came through another grove of trees, and it wasn't there. It had just, you know, suddenly disappeared, and I scanned the horizon for the next hour trying to find it, and there was simply no sign of it.
This was a daytime sighting, I take.
Oh, it was. It was about 4 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun was still up. And the other sighting I had, my wife and I both saw a cluster of 12 little objects in a like a cluster or a ball. This was at Paracas on the coast of Peru less than a year ago, and they were coming in from the ocean, a distance of several miles, I would guess. But it was the odd thing again is that my brain went through the natural thing processes. It's like it was midnight, so there were no birds flying in a ball at that time. Planes can't do that. And they were moving amongst each other. It's not like it was a formation. It was a ball formation with them twisting and turning and changing position. They moved inland for about 5 minutes and then stopped and then started to come back the other way. And I was watching it by myself. And I finally got my wife out of bed to look at it because I needed a witness. And she just looked up and she said, "Those are ovnis," which is Spanish for UFOs. And in Peru, it's so common to see flying saucers that local people don't understand why we have this incredible interest. But then after that, they basically moved straight up and disappeared.
How many were there, you think?
There were either 12 or 13. And there
was in such
a tight formation. And the color of them, they were glowing, but they weren't glowing white. And they weren't glowing yellow. It was a shade of color that is not in the natural spectrum, as far as I can tell. And there was no moon, so they were not reflecting light.
So UFOs are pretty common down in that part of the world.
Oh, very, especially around Cusco and Lake Titicaca. Local people around Lake Titicaca will tell you that they have sightings at night where a disc, often it's somewhere between 20 and 100 feet in diameter, will simply enter the Lake Titicaca and then come back out again. And
so
that's been going...
They literally submerged themselves in the lake?
Yeah, and stories like that go back hundreds of years. And again, the local people see this, and they see balls of light, self-directed balls of light, so commonly that they kind of smile when we ask questions because it's such a common occurrence.
Now are you going to both of these places in this tour? This tour that we're talking about?
Definitely. The main center we're going to is Cusco.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and then Lake Titicaca is an option afterwards.
Okay, we're going to talk about the whole journey here and the vacation and how much it cost and all of that. And we gave Rita's website. You have a website for these tours as well. Why don't you give that right now?
Sure. That's www.hiddenincatours.com.
And you've given some pretty interesting ones in the past that you've had videos of right there on that website. It's an interesting website.
Oh, thank you very much.